The Warrior Soul Podcast is written, edited, and produced by me, Chris Albert. Our mission is to provide tools, tactics, strategies, and ideas that help the U.S. military veteran community to show up as the wisest, strongest, most capable versions of themselves in the civilian world. If you're not a veteran, stick around because anything we talk about will most certainly apply to you as well. This podcast is made possible with the help of F-Bomb Nutrition. They make delicious packets of fats that you can carry around anywhere with you in little portable packets. They make macadamia nut butters. They mix them up with chocolate. They mix them up with sea salt. They mix them up with coconut butter. They're absolutely delicious, and they're really good for you. They don't have any sugar. They also make a lot of cheese snacks. They make meat sticks, and it's just a great company. These guys send packages of this stuff to the troops who are on the front lines overseas to supplement their MREs, and we didn't ask them to do that. They just did that on their own initiative. Really great company. If you want to get 20% off your first order of F-bombs, head over to www.droppingfbomb.com and use the code WARRIORSOUL at checkout. This podcast is also brought to you with the help of Save the Brave. SaveTheBrave.org is a 501c3 charity for veterans. They run camaraderie events that include fishing, golfing. They also do a lot of work with Gold Star families. And unlike a lot of other organizations, their board doesn't take a salary. Really great organization that is doing amazing work. So go and check them out at SaveTheBrave.org. With that, thank you guys so much. Let's get into today's programming. This is Chris Albert, and I'm here to remind you of one thing. Someday, you're going to die. Now, that's not some morbid statement or scary idea. It's solid fact. Your time here on this earth is limited. And we need to be reminded of this as much as possible for one simple reason. To live your best life while you can. This is the Warrior Soul Podcast. So for those of you who are still in the military and you're thinking about getting out, one of the things I want you to understand from this podcast is that there are a world of choices out there for you. There are so many different things that you can do. And it doesn't just have to be that traditional path of getting out of the military, going to college, or, you know, going to learn a trade, or whatever everybody else is telling you that you need to do. There's a lot of different things you can do out there. And we live in this time and era where you have the means of production for so many things in your pocket. There's so many things that you could do with your phone or with your computer. That includes opening up a business, but it also includes being involved with companies as a remote worker. It includes investing. It includes so many different things. The problem with going one of these alternative routes is that it's not easy. It's a lot of work. You've got to train yourself. You've got to be extraordinarily disciplined, and not the same kind of discipline you have in the military where somebody is going to be guiding you along on your path, like your NCOs or your officers, right? This is another kind of discipline. You have to be a motivated self-starter. My guest this week is somebody who's cutting his own path and cutting his own future for when he gets out of the Navy. His name is Austin Alexander. And he's built himself up a massive following on YouTube and on Instagram. And he is building basically a media company right now. He's also getting into a bunch of other things. What I wanted to do was sit down with him, talk to him about how he got his start, talk to him about what his plans are for the future, because he's still an active duty sailor, and to give you some insights as to what it takes to start something like this, along with some of the things you should look out for. So Austin and I had a great conversation. We talked quite a bit about what he's doing. We talked quite a bit about, you know, how he got into the business, how he started looking out for sponsorships and things like that. And you guys are really going to enjoy this episode. I'll have all the links up to Austin's stuff on the show notes for this episode. And again, if this is one of the paths that you want to take, I highly suggest you pull out a pad, a piece of paper, a pen, and start taking notes while you're going through this. Just a couple of notes here. Please, if you have not subscribed to the podcast yet, please subscribe to the podcast. Please share these episodes out with people who can use them. If you haven't been here before, our mission here at the Warrior Soul Podcast is to empower U.S. military veterans to live their absolute best lives. And we do that by delivering tools, tactics, and strategies to help the veteran community to show up as wiser, stronger, more capable versions of themselves in the civilian world. And if you're not a veteran, stick around, because anything we talk about here can obviously apply to you as well. But what we're really trying to do right now, guys, is spread the word. So please subscribe to the podcast, share these episodes out. And if you have not yet, head over to iTunes and write us a written rating and review. Now with that, guys, let's get into this outstanding conversation with Mr. Austin Alexander. Austin, welcome to the Warrior Soul Podcast, man.
Thank you very much.
Great having you on, man. You're down in Seal Beach, right?
Yes, sir. I am. Seal Beach, California.
That's a beautiful area, man. I used to live down in Long Beach. Lived there, and I lived in San Pedro for a while.
Okay. Yeah, we had an apartment over in Long Beach for a while the first year I was here.
Really? What part?
Right off of Pine.
Oh, nice, man. Yeah. Nice. Yeah, that's a good area too. That's like downtown area. Mm-hmm. I lived there for a bit. I lived in North Long Beach, which was awesome. A lot of people have bad perception of North Long Beach, but I loved it down there. And then ran my gym out there, Metroflex. It was which is an awesome gym.
Yeah, I've been there several times. I love that gym.
Nice, man. So how long you been in the Navy for?
It'll be this December. It'll be 7 years.
Wow. Wow. Yes. How's it feel?
How does it feel to be in still? Mm-hmm. It feels good. You know, it took me a while to adjust to it just because I'm from a very small town. You know, it's a lot of things I had to adjust to. But I'm pretty good at it. I've gotten especially good at embracing the times that are bad, you know, when you're working long hours or whatever. So I feel like it's been good for me, because anything else that happens in normal life is just like, it doesn't compare, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you've probably been a lot of different places. How many different duty stations have you had?
I've had three different duty stations. I was in Bahrain. Well, technically three, but I really say four, because I went to Bahrain for 2 years. And then I went to Lemoore, California for about 2 months. And then I deployed from there on the USS Carl Vinson aircraft carrier.
Nice.
And then came back to Lemoore for probably another 3 or 4 months. And then I got stationed out here in Seal Beach.
Nice. Nice. I was at Naval Support Activity Bahrain for a while too.
Okay.
That's an awesome duty station. I absolutely loved it out there.
What year were you there?
2003. Okay. So I was with Marine Security Forces at the time, and we were jumping ships up to southern Iraq, like the Qar Abdullah, the Shat al-Arab, Min al-Bakr oil terminal, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great place. I mean, the barracks there were awesome. And then they had that place. It was like the Desert Dome or something like that.
Yeah. That was still there in 2003?
Yeah, man, it was there. It was like a little rudimentary bar. We'd just go there. Because part of the time I was there was Ramadan, and you couldn't go off base.
Yeah.
So we'd sit there and we'd drink.
they don't serve alcohol there anymore, but they have really good. They revamped it. They have lots of good breakfast sandwiches and stuff like that. That's where the security go for training and stuff now.
Yeah, yeah. And then I was making so much money there. We would go out to like the Ritz-Carlton there, and yep. We'd do the big dinners and smoke the hookah and stuff like that. Yeah, that's awesome stuff, man. What made you decide to join the Navy in the first place?
So at the time, I think this was back in 2011 or 2012, I was cutting grass and making pizzas. Mm-hmm. And I just had a desire to better myself. Like, I just felt that I couldn't keep doing that forever, or I didn't want to. You know, from a small town, a lot of people, they don't like to get out. They don't like to go places and travel. And I did, you know, I wanted to get out and go places. And I'm kind of, when I think about something, I'm usually just going for it with minimal thinking. And that's pretty much what I did. I said, you know, I considered the Navy for about a day and a half. And then I said, sign me up.
Nice, man. And yeah. So you just went to the recruiter and were like, sign me up. Let's do this. And was security forces the original plan there?
No, it wasn't. So a buddy of mine, Taylor Austin, went in there with me. He said, you know, he pretty much begged me to go. I said, I'm not joining the military. And then when I finally got in there, I started to think, and, you know, and then that's when a day and a half later, I decided to join. But I went in there and I said, the recruiter handed me a pamphlet. It was a Navy SEAL pamphlet. He said, try this. Of course, I looked it up. You know, I didn't even know what it was, to be honest. And I said, okay, this seems kind of cool. I said, all right, let's do this. So I went to MEPS. They disqualified me for it because of my eyesight. Said, okay, what's the next best option? They said, you have diver and EOD, which is explosive ordnance disposal, open to you. And I said, okay, well, diver looks pretty cool. So I go in there and, you know, qualified for diver, and they made me pick a backup job, which was information technician, which is kind of like, you know, intelligence. And I came back and I was officially in DEP, the delayed entry program. And my recruiter said, okay, you have, they set your date out 7 months. You have 7 months to get contracted for diver. So at that point, I started taking these tests called physical screening tests. And in the Navy, we have physical readiness tests, but the PST is definitely an elevated version of that. And it qualifies you to go into these special operations or special warfare jobs. And I started PSTing, got into great shape. You know, that was when my mindset kind of shifted, like, hey, I'm going to be, you know, something bigger than myself. I want to take some pride in what I'm doing. I started training hard. I started, at that point, I didn't really have the nutrition aspect like I should have, but I started training hard. You know, almost every waking hour I was training. I was going on long runs. I was crossfitting in the morning and lifting in the afternoon, and it was a good time. And that's when I went through a big change. And finally, I earned that diver contract. And I was relieved because that means I wasn't going to be an information technician. I'm not really an intelligence guy. I don't think I would like that job. And yeah, I shipped off to boot camp December 9th, 2013.
Oh, shit. Yeah. That's crazy.
Well, and 2013.
Where'd you grow up? What geographic area?
Alabama. Upper northwest corner, Florence, Alabama.
So you weren't near the ocean much, were you?
No, not at all.
And could you swim well?
I could not, no. But at the beginning, so it took me about 7 months to get qualified. I think in April is when I depped in. And by November, I had earned that contract. So I was in the pool, you know, almost every day at the YMCA. You know, I had the hours down. I was scheduled. I would go work and I would cut grass for 8 hours, get off, and then go swim. Either that or swim before work. And I met up with a crew of people that were in the same position as me, you know, and trying to better themselves. And we all swam together, ran together, trained together. It was a good time. So that's where I got the water confidence that I have now, is from swimming, you know, every day for about 7 months at the YMCA.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And did you play sports in high school or anything like that?
I played a little bit of basketball. I think it was B team basketball from about 9th to 10th grade.
Nice. Yeah. I got to say, one of the things about joining the military, when you sign that contract and you make the commitment and you're committing to something bigger than yourself, it really helps you sometimes to grow into the position, because you're stepping into this new area where, you know, what you did in high school doesn't matter anymore, right? Mm-hmm. Whether you were an athlete or not, whether you were just a wallflower, whether you were a nerd, doesn't really matter. And that's the cool thing about joining the military, is that you get this chance to kind of rewrite yourself.
Yeah. Exactly. And I think it's great. You know, every command, I feel like that, you know, as you're moving duty stations, you pretty much get to rewrite yourself. You know, you're stepping into new shoes. find myself setting goals around, you know, when I'm leaving or when I'm rotating out. So I like it. I think it's a good way to, you know, keep up with yourself and make a change if you need to and set goals, you know, depending on your rotation.
So I know that you said you don't have any plans for when you get out, right? You're not really like a plan kind of person in that aspect, right?
I do. I do have plans. Yeah. But you know, they could change, you know, the past year, you know, 2 years ago, I thought I wanted to go into freelance videography. Mm-hmm. It changed from videography to marketing to, you know, YouTube really blew up and took off, and now I'm sitting here trading stock options. So
it's awesome, man.
you know, it bounces around, but I do want to be more free. I don't want to have a 9-to-5, you know, unless I have to.
Yeah, I'm the same way, man. I'm the same way. I've been, I haven't had a 9-to-5 for about 12 years now, and that's awesome. I don't think I could go back.
Yeah.
So as far as turning the video camera on and getting onto YouTube, what made you think about doing that?
I always had an interest in filming myself and just filming things, whether it's, you know, whatever I was doing, filming stuff, filming myself and my friends. We used to make, you know, some stupid dance videos back in the day. And I just remember looking back at the footage and thinking that it was so cool that you could record things like that and rewatch it. So throughout the years, I picked up the camera more and more. And I used to run a little show for a class in high school called Current Events. And we would report about things that are happening in the economy and the business world, news world, whatever. And I filmed and I edited that. And I started selling the tapes for like $5 to $10, you know, and I was getting a lot of sales. And so that kind of got me interested in entrepreneurship a little. When I joined the military, I put the camera down, you know, I didn't get a chance to do it as much as I wanted. And then finally, at the end of my time in Bahrain in 2016, I believe, I finally picked it up again. And I started recording things. Of course, it was a little GoPro. Started making videos and then went on deployment. Didn't make another video for a long time. And finally, I whipped up a deployment video and posted it on YouTube. And because back then I thought, you know, nobody wants to see what I'm doing. Nobody cares. If I post something on YouTube, it's got to be worth watching. You know, I didn't think anything that I made was worth watching. And finally, you know, that video, it picked up. Next thing you know, I had 1,000 subscribers on YouTube. And I just started, well, my girlfriend, Sarah, she's really hard on me. And I kind of like it. You know, she's not in the military and has never been in the military, but she keeps structure. Mm-hmm. And she, you know, schedules a lot of stuff for me. She pushes me to do stuff and I do the same for her. And she said, "You have 1,000 people that are waiting to watch what you put out." She said, "You need to make a video right now." So that's what I did. And I didn't know what I was going to film about. I didn't know what I was going to say. I just turned the camera on and started talking. And it was just my history in the Navy, who I am and what I'm doing. And from there, it just took off. I started posting 2 or 3 times a week.
With YouTube, you know, you said you got to 1,000 subscribers and, you know, at that point, it's like, oh man, I got 1,000 subscribers. And then sometimes you look at the other networks or the other channels and they're like, you know, 2 million, 3 million subscribers. Yeah. What were you thinking at that point? And what made you think, you know, this is something I could do. This is something that can really take off here.
When I really just started, that's a hard question. I don't think that I ever came to the point where I was like, hey, I can really take this off and I can really grow this. At that time, I was just posting. I was focusing on the views more than the subscribers, you know, and I would post a video and get 300 views. And I was just so ecstatic and excited. And I think it wasn't until the first paycheck that I got that I was like, well, I'm getting paid to do this. This is crazy. And it was like $48 or something like that. And yeah, I mean, every single video is a struggle. You know, the people that have been, you know, have all those subscribers, they've been doing it for a while. You just have to be patient and be consistent and then trust the process. Trust that what you're putting out is true to you and that you enjoy doing it.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, because I have a YouTube channel too, and I've been doing it for a while. I've been around a lot of big time YouTube guys. I've friends with CT Fletcher and Mike Rashid and a bunch of other influencers. And it's interesting because I think a lot of people get into it, and then when they don't get like a million subscribers up front, or they don't get a million views up front, they just stop. You know, yeah. At the end of the day, it shouldn't be about just trying to get views or just trying to get subscribers. It should be something that means something to you. That's something that you know, exactly. What are we doing, right?
Exactly. You know, I see a lot of people start, and I tell them, I said, before you start, before you waste your time with it, if you're not consistent, you know, don't even waste your time. You have to be consistent. And I was doing it just because, you know, I enjoyed the film. I enjoyed seeing what I had created. And, you know, it's not an easy process. Every single video is a struggle. You know, I'm editing a video right here, right now, and it's a struggle even after, you know, 150 videos on my channel. So it's a new battle every day, every video. It's a new battle to get it filmed and edited within a timely manner. And you have to enjoy the process to keep going.
How do you come up with your content?
I have a vision board, and this year I want to focus more on growth. Last year it was more kind of like vloggy stuff. Mm-hmm. And I noticed all my biggest videos, the top, you know, viewer, top subscriber gainers, and the top ad revenue videos are challenge and videos that appeal to the mass amounts of people. So this year I'm trying to base my video creation on that.
Nice. And you know, fitness is obviously a big part of what you do too. As far as, you know, your own fitness journey, what's that been like? I know you mentioned, you know, when you were trying to get into the Navy, you wanted to be in the best shape possible. Mm-hmm. Have your goals changed since being in the Navy? Or since you've been on YouTube, has that made your fitness goals change at all?
Yes. So I've been through, you know, I've been a runner. I've been a CrossFitter. I've been a bodybuilder. Done a bodybuilding show, a little bit of powerlifting. So my goals, you know, when I read the comments from people on YouTube saying, oh, you inspired me to do this, you inspired me to lose weight, I try to make the fitness content where it's appeals to people, you know, so it's not strictly one thing. I always say, you know, you can do whatever you like, just stay active, you know, do a CrossFit wad, you know, go in the gym and lift some chest, you know, deadlift some heavy weight. And I try to make it appeal to lots of people. So specifically, I think what I like best is bodybuilding, because I can see myself changing, and that's what my fitness is geared towards. But, you know, YouTube videos have me doing PRTs in uniform when I don't even have to be in uniform. They have me, you know, doing CrossFit wads, bear complexes. It's fun because it's different for me, you know, and I want to show people that fitness is multifaceted. You don't have to just stick to one thing.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. That's good. I started out as a bodybuilder years ago and, you know, got into that game. And it really is one of those things that I think's introduced so many people to fitness, just trying to get that physique, trying to look a certain way. And that's appealing. A lot of people down talk it, but honestly, I think something that's gotten that many people and inspired that many people to get into fitness and at least open the door, I think that's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, you hear people down talking all types of fitness stuff, you know, especially CrossFit. And, but I think it's good that we have all these different forms, because bodybuilding is not going to appeal to everybody. CrossFitting is not going to appeal to everybody. If, you know, you can find a subject or a type of fitness that kind of brings you into the mindset, then I think it's great. We need more people that are into fitness, you know, and take care of themselves.
All right. And one of the things about the military, you know, having been in the Marine Corps, I loved fitness while I was in the Marine Corps, but I wasn't very good about fitness while I was in the Marine Corps. I'll give you an example of that. I was, you know, I kind of fell into the habit of, I smoked a pack of cigarettes a day. I was dipping a can and a half of Copenhagen a day. I was drinking beer on the weekends, that kind of stuff. And you know, the military, I think, presents some unique challenges to anybody who wants to get into bodybuilding, because, you know, a lot of times you're surviving off of MREs, you're dealing with chow hall food. How have you managed all of that? The probably, you're probably not doing the smoking and the dipping like I was, but as far as the diet portion of it.
So the diet portion, yeah. Last year I was prepping down for a show in June, and I did pick up dipping. And for about probably about 7 or 8 months, you know, I was doing it because the diet, because the nicotine, you know, it would help curb my appetite. So I was, you know, probably doing a can a week, but still using it. So the diet portion, that's why I like being on shore duty, because I can pretty much eat what I want. I bring my meals into work, either that or go get a Chipotle chicken bowl. But on deployment, it's not easy. You know, like you were saying, you're usually eating MREs or galley food. And for me, you know, I had already picked up a little bit of information, like, you know, high protein foods, lower sugars, lower carbohydrates, depending on what your goals are. And I was able to kind of swing that and manage that on the ship. Of course, I had an occasional cake or whatever, because you're eating, because that's one of the only forms of morale that you have, you know, is food. So I would say, if I was telling somebody how to manage it, you know, if you're on deployment and a source of morale is food, just be sure you're balancing it with staying active. You know, if you have a piece of cake, do some extra cardio. You know, I know how hard it can be to say, you know, stay away from the cake, especially when you're on deployment or out in the field or whatever. But you just kind of have to balance it out with staying active. Hope that answers your question. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that morale portion, I think, is a big thing. And because I think you have to play tricks on yourself to keep your morale up a lot of time. But yeah, it's also a trap you could fall into, because that's how I basically got into smoking and dipping and drinking, right? It was because I'd be out there and, you know, the one thing we had control over in the field was what we were putting in our mouths. Like, and when I couldn't smoke, I would dip, right? Yeah. So it was like this little rebellion against the man kind of thing. And then the other aspect is when they were like, you know, if you see other people dipping and smoking, you want to be part of the crew, and everybody looks happy when they're doing it. So yeah, you want a little portion of that happiness too, right?
Yep. And it was, you know, for me, I'd hang around the harbor or whatever, throw a dip in, just talk with the guys. It was a good time.
What were you dipping?
I would switch between Copenhagen, Red Steel, and Grizzly, because I felt like, you know, if I was dipping on one for a while, I wouldn't get a buzz.
Gotcha. Yeah. My squad leader for a while, he had a standing rule. The only thing he'd allow us to dip was Copenhagen snuff.
Why is that? Just because
he was from Kentucky he had a thing about Skull. I think really it was because he wanted to bum some dips off of us.
Oh yeah, probably. That's smart right there.
Yeah, exactly, man. Exactly. So, you know, you said you'd done a bodybuilding show too. How long ago was that?
It was August 2018.
Nice. And how'd that go for you? What was the experience like?
It was fun. You know, it was hard. It presented a new set of challenges that I've never faced before. Dieting to such an extreme level where I was hungry all times of the day, doing, you know, hour of cardio every 2 or 3 days. It was a new form of discipline for me, and I liked it. I felt like at that point, you know, my mind was sharp. I was way better at scheduling, you know, better than I am now. It was, you know, when you're on task, when you're on track to hit a certain target, I feel like it makes all the other aspects of your life kind of line up too. I feel like that's how it was when I was prepping down.
Yeah. But did you do a classic physique or did you do straight bodybuilding?
Classic physique.
Nice. Yeah. That's a newer class that's come around in the last few years, and it's kind of taken off. I think it's probably one of the most popular classes out there, right?
Yeah, I really like classic physique because, you know, you have to have a well-balanced physique in order to step on stage. You got all the guys that like to get big up top, but the people that don't like to train legs and which is typically the physique guys, I feel like.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's why I like classic a lot.
Now, when you were, because obviously you have your day job here and, you know, long hours doing that. So how did you motivate yourself to train? What kind of kept you going during that time period?
I know that during show prep.
Yeah.
At the time I was prepping down for a show. I was prepping my meals every single day. I was doing the cardio as well as filming for YouTube. And sometimes it wasn't easy. You know, I would show up to work and I was angry because I had to be at work. I was angry because, you know, we would get held 2 or 3 hours late or whatever. And I just told myself, hey, I'm going to do this. So it's going to suck. You just got to kind of embrace it.
And most of your meals were like chicken, things like that?
At the time I was flexible dieting. So I think my macros were like 210 protein.
Gotcha.
Like 280 grams of carbs and maybe 70 grams of fat. So, you know, from time to time I could sneak a Reese's in up until almost a week before show day.
Nice.
Yeah. Nice.
And did you continually lower your carbs up to the show day, or did you just get more cardio in as you were going along?
Yeah, I was being coached, and he was kind of having to coach me at an aggressive rate because I picked him up about 11 weeks out from the show. I said, get me lean. He said, okay. So, you know, every week carbs and fat would go down and cardio would go up. So I definitely got lean and I felt great. You know, I've never dieted based on flexible dieting. You know, I told him, I said, you know, I don't want to do this. Just give me foods to eat. He said, trust me. I said, okay. So I did. And I was incredibly lean and I was still eating, you know, bananas, Reese's, Halo Top. It's great.
Yeah. Halo Top's great, man.
Yeah.
And you know, you mentioned you have a girlfriend, and she's been with you. Was she with you during the time when you were training for that show?
Yes, she was.
And how was that? Because of the relationship aspect of training for a show can be a little bit intense, right?
Very. She has a history with, I'll just say she's not the type to go for body composition. She works out for the mental part. So she didn't necessarily agree with me just trying to look good and trying to get super, super lean for the show. But we don't really go out to eat regardless. She's pretty picky with her food. And I love to go out to eat. But at the time, you know, it was okay because I would just sit there and eat maybe some lean ground beef or turkey and some broccoli, and she would have some popcorn or something. So it didn't really affect us a whole lot because the relationship aspects that are taken away during prep didn't really apply to us.
Hey guys, I hope you're getting a lot out of this interview. You know, the Warrior Soul podcast is built with the mission to empower its listeners to live absolutely epic lives. And that's why we recently created a group called the Warriors Obituary Society. This group is built to empower its members to live epic lives worthy of epic obituaries. And it starts with an 8-week development program. And with this development program, what you're going to do is you're going to outline a vision for your life. You're going to get very specific about what you want. Because without that specificity, you don't know where you're going and you don't know what you're doing. From there, we help our members to develop specific goals, objectives that they are going to push toward, and that their fellow members of the Warriors Obituary Society are going to hold them accountable to. From there, we're getting down into specifics. We're going to help you to develop and customize your own personal fitness and nutrition plan to help to fuel your body and fuel your mind for the quest ahead. From there, we're going to work on your personal finances. We're going to help you to knock down debt. We're going to help you to start saving money and to create a plan so that you can start investing in your dreams. Then we're going to get into your business and career. We're going to help you to develop the skills that you need to develop yourself so that you can have a major impact in the field you choose. If you choose to go into business, we're going to help you to set up the foundations that you need to create your own company and get started on your path in life. From there, we're going to be working on your relationships. We're going to help you to develop a world-class network. And all along the way, you're going to have your fellow members of the Warriors Obituary Society pushing you in every single area. We meet once a week over a live call, and we're constantly communicating over our own private forum on Slack. We don't do anything over social media, and that's because I don't want anybody feeling like anyone's looking over their shoulders, and I don't want you exposed to the crazy, distracting alerts that you get on Facebook and some of the other social media platforms. Normally, programs like this cost thousands of dollars. This one does not. For the price, it is the best development program on the internet. And that's because our mission here at Warrior Soul is to empower people to get more out of life so that they can in turn make the world a better place. We've got a great mix of active duty military, U.S. military veterans, and civilians in this group. We wanted to keep it really eclectic so that we get a lot of different types of views up there and a lot of different people with different areas of expertise. If you think that this is something that would be of interest to you and that this is something that could empower you to live your absolute best life, head over to www.warriorobituarysociety.com. That's www.warriorobituarysociety.com, and you can sign up today. And if you have any questions about it, just reach out to me at chris@warriorsoulagoge.com. That's chris@warriorsoulagoge.com. I'm happy to even sit down with you for a phone call for a few minutes to see if the group is right for you. I look forward to seeing you guys in there, and let's get back to this awesome interview. I want to switch gears here a little bit and kind of talk about, you know, you mentioned you have plans for getting out and you mentioned you're trading stock options right now, which is pretty cool. I think a lot of guys, they think they have a plan for getting out, but they don't necessarily understand what it's going to be like because, you know, I remember when I got out, I was like, oh man, everything's going to be great. Nobody's going to tell me how to dress. I'm going to be able to go and drink beer whenever I want to and all this stuff. And then I went and I did that for a while and it wasn't so great. And then, you know, you wake up 6 years later and your life's gone nowhere and things like that. But you know, as you're going into this, are you, what types of things are you thinking about? Are you thinking about finance? Are you thinking about, you know, how you're going to build your business after this and things like that? And how are you kind of mentally preparing yourself for that transition?
Yeah, I know it's going to kind of be a kick in the nuts when I get out and that check is taken away from me. Mm-hmm. But at this point, you know, YouTube has overpowered the income from the Navy. Mm-hmm. The stock options, I'm still kind of learning. I just started about January 1st. So I trade with smaller numbers, but I want to continue, you know, continue to amp up the YouTube, especially when I get out, especially when I have time to edit, film, and maybe post 3 to 4 times a week. But I know it's going to be a slight kick in the nuts. Hopefully not anything, you know, worse than that. But I've been saving for the past 2 years. I've been really managing my money, and I feel like it's going to be okay. And the people that reach out and say, hey, you know, it's going to be okay. You know, it gives me some reassurance, you know, because I know everybody that gets out of the military, they go through this transition. And yeah, I think it'll be okay. If it's not, then I'll probably just go homeless for a bit, live in a box and figure it out from there.
One thing I got to say, you know, as far as things go, though, I mean, that's not something to really be scared. I was homeless for a little bit and I lived out of my car for a few months because I had a really, really bad business failure and then a divorce on top of that. Mm-hmm. Right. And you know, what I got to say is like the lead up to it was a lot worse than actually have it happening. Right.
Yeah.
When I actually got to the point where I had nothing left and I was sitting there in my car and I was trying to figure things out, I'm like, wait a minute, I got nothing to lose right now. I can do whatever the freak I want. And put a lot of focus in me to say, all right, I'm going to fix this situation. And, you know, that's kind of how I got started on where I'm at right now. You know,
I didn't know that. That's crazy.
Yeah, man, it was a rough time period and, you know, made a few mistakes and things like that. But it's like, you know, I think it was one of the best things that ever happened to me, you know, because you get into that situation is like, man, life is, when you get out of it, it's like, holy shit, life is beautiful, man. You know, there's so many things we can do. And I think the problem is so many people just get stuck and they can't see the road in front of them. And it just takes a little bit of maybe getting a little bit uncomfortable to see the road ahead and to see that if you just take a few more steps, you're gonna be able to get to where you want to go.
Yeah. That's crazy. You know, I've always heard that it kind of, you know, if you hit rock bottom, it's going to make you realize, you know, that you never want to hit rock bottom again. And it's really going to change the way you think, change your outlook on things. And I wouldn't say rock bottom, but I was in a tough spot financially about 3 years ago, leaving Bahrain. And I told myself, you know, I came out here to California. I said, this Navy check is not enough. I said, I have to find a way to make, you know, get myself out of this debt and to make more money. And yeah, it was a tough road. I'm sure nothing like what you have gone through. But for me, I think that was my little rock, you know, that was my little bottom that I realized, you know, have to change something.
Yeah. And I think it's relative for everybody. You know what I mean? Because, you know, there's some things that could happen to some people where they're going to be suffering a lot and their mental wellness is going to be suffering from it, you know? And for a situation like that, you know, when you're in so much debt and you're trying to figure a way out of it, you know, the cool thing is that we live in this time and space right now where you could do so much, where you could turn on a video camera and broadcast yourself show an aspect of your life. And there's going to be people out there who relate to it. You know, and that's the cool thing.
Yeah, I agree. I tell people all the time, you know, that they say, what am I going to put on YouTube? I said, just post your life. You know, I mean, there's a market out there for everybody. I mean, you have kids playing with slime on YouTube that make millions and millions a year.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And just be real, be you, you know, yeah. And that's the cool thing there. Yeah. One thing I like about you, you're associated with some good people, like Nick Bear Performance Nutrition, really great guy. I've had him on as a guest, really great company. When you get into a situation like you're in, where you're gaining a lot of influence and a lot of people are putting eyes on you, mm-hmm. I know that a lot of times you get reached out to by a number of different people, a number of different companies, some of them good, some of them bad. Yeah. Were you able to sort that out pretty quickly as far as who you wanted to be associated with and who you weren't? And did you have any, I don't want you to name names or anything like that, but like, were there any experiences that people should watch out for?
Yes, 100%. And I'm glad you asked that. Yes, there are all kinds of businesses. You know, when you gain somewhat of a following or influence, there are all kinds of businesses that will go after you and they'll try to take advantage of you. They'll say, hey, well, you know, if you shout out this hat, we will give you this hat for free. You know, social media is, to me, it's, I don't want to water it down with companies that I don't even believe in. You know, I'm looking at this flag. It's made by Brave American. And I mean, great company. I've been watching them for a year or so. So yeah, you really have to look out for who you really want to work with. And what I tell people is if you're trying to grow your social media, if you're trying to grow an influence somewhat on social media, go ahead and look out for the companies that you would want to work with, because companies will come in here and they'll say, hey, you know, will you shout out this mouse for a free mouse? Yeah. If you're shouting out, you know, products and stuff all the time and you're just kind of watering your content down, then nobody's going to want to follow it. For me, BPN, I've been following them for the longest time. I said in May 2019, I commented on one of Nick Bear's videos. I said, I'm going to meet Nick Bear by December 31st, 2019. And then by September, I was a part of the team. I was flying down to Texas to meet everybody. So I had my eyes on BPN for a long time. So if you're, you know, gaining an influence, building a following, pick the companies that you would want to work with. Yeah. And that's my tip. And watch out for companies that aren't after you. They're just after your following. You know, I think you want a company that believes in you, believes in your content and enjoys what you do. So that's a huge part of a relationship between athlete or between a partner and a business.
That's important to understand too, because I think, you know, so many people out there are like, oh, I want to get a sponsorship, or I want to get this, or I want to get that, that, you know, you got to realize you have a certain amount of capital with your audience, right? And if you're wasting that capital promoting all these different things that don't really relate to your brand or don't really relate to your audience or aren't going to help your audience, then you're wasting that capital, right?
Yeah, I agree. And so many people are quick to just want to put athlete or sponsor or ambassador in their bio when the company's not really giving them anything. I mean, the company says, hey, we'll give you this hat if you put, you know, so-and-so ambassador in your bio. That's worth a lot. You should treasure that. You know, you should treasure your social medias. I mean, people work hard to build them, and you don't want to just give it away to the first company that comes by and says, hey, you know.
Right. And the other thing is, you mentioned you had your eye on BPN for a while. And one of the other things, just having been in the industry for a while, that I see people doing is, you know, they'll message companies and they'll be like, hey, can you sponsor me? I'm super great. This is, you know, my YouTube channel, and this is how awesome I am. But what they don't do is they don't show what kind of value you could bring to the table for the company itself. Right. And that's really important, is you're bringing value to BPN. You're actually helping BPN on its mission, and you got to be able to express that and how you can do it, right?
Yeah. There's you can send them a pamphlet, or like a analytics pamphlet, or not really like a welcome aboard package, just kind of like an introduction to you. It shows your name, who you are, your analytics, how much you've grown, you know, growth, what you can provide to the business. And if you're pitching your services or your influence to a business or a company, they're going to want to see that.
Right. Yeah. Right. Exactly. And you've got to be able to outline that stuff. And if you're not there yet, be patient, right? Be patient.
Exactly. Yeah.
As far as, I want to finish up with a couple of questions here. So number one, what kind of stuff are you reading right now? Do you read a lot? And if you are, what's the big thing?
I have two books in my work bag I'll grab really quick. Of course, I listen to most of my stuff on Audible, but I like to have physical books in my hand as well. So one is Dark Pool Secrets by Stephanie Kammerman. This is about trading stocks and stock options. I finished this probably about 2 weeks ago. It's still in my bag. 25 Hours a Day by Nick Bear.
Yeah, I want to get that book. That's and I want to bring him on to talk about that. How is it?
It's great. It tells the story. You know, if you've been following Nick, or if you're interested in what he's doing, it tells pretty much, it's a summary of what he's done and what he's doing.
Yeah, he's got just an amazing story to be able to build what he did from pretty much nothing. That's just so awesome. You know,
exactly. One thing, you know, if somebody's listening to this, is trying to grow a YouTube or a personal brand, I recommend looking back at your favorite influencers and look at where they started from. You know, I've watched some of Nick's old videos, and they're like mine. You know, he just the way he speaks, what he does on camera is completely different, you know, and it's good to see where they start from, because I can really relate to that.
Yeah, no, big time. If you ever go back and you look at like Gary Vaynerchuk's first video, like Google that. Yeah. I mean, he started out, it was just him, like his camera wasn't working properly. He was sitting there, and that's the thing, like everybody started, right? They hit start. They weren't sitting there like, oh, I got to get the lighting perfect, or I got to get this, or oh, I got to get that. That's a big thing, man. Because when I wanted to start a podcast, I waited years, because I worked with London Real for a while, Brian Rose out of the UK. And I was like, oh, man, this guy's got this studio. I need this studio, all this stuff. But you don't. You got to start somewhere. You got to build up to it, right?
Exactly. Yep.
It's huge.
And the third one is called Million Dollar Brand. It's about Amazon, selling on Amazon. I like to keep my mind thinking about multiple things. So those are the three books that I'm physically reading. I listen to a lot more on Audible.
Yeah, I'm that way too. Certain books I'll listen to on Audible. If it's a if it's a novel, I actually like listening to novels on Audible.
Yeah.
But certain other books, I have to take notes. I have to have it in my hand, and everybody's different that way. Right.
Yeah, for sure.
Another question here, as far as your daily routine, what's that like?
I wake up every day at 6:06. We'll take the dogs out. I'll have a drink, which involves a little caffeine, a little green drink. It's by BPN, actually, strong greens. And then I'll sit down here and wait for the markets to open at 6:30. And I'll play the markets. I'll play the market open for first 2 hours or so. And then I will eat breakfast and let it settle before I go to the gym. I head to the gym about 10:30, get done 11:30, a shower, and I'm at work by about 12:45 or 12:50. And I work until about 9:30, come home in bed by 10:30, wake up again the next day, 06.
Nice. That's pretty structured, man. No TV, nothing like that, right?
I get antsy when I watch TV. I may watch a few YouTube videos just to get ideas, but if it's not, I feel like I'm in that zone where if I'm not producing something, then I get kind of anxious, you know?
Nice. And then as far as, personal habits that have benefited you over the past few years, you know, whether it's meditation, whether it's journaling or anything like that, do you do any of that kind of stuff?
I do. I like to write down my thoughts, and I have a little bit of a diary/journal in the back of it. Mm-hmm. I write down when I'm mad at myself, I write down, you know, what I did, why I'm mad at myself. I actually have some things in there about scheduling. but it helps me get the thoughts out, you know, helps me kind of vent to myself. I can go read it and then understand what I'm doing. I like to the morning walk with the puppies. I try not to bring my phone because it's kind of just like me and them. It's peaceful outside. Nobody's really waking up for work yet. And that's a kind of a breather for me, about 15 or 20 minutes. And yeah, that's pretty much it. I like to listen to the Audible and read the books at work and listen to the Audible on the way to work. Sometimes I listen in the gym. And also the gym is a huge part. I do my thinking, you know, it helps me relieve so much stress. So that's a very important part of the day.
Really big deal there. Yeah. Just getting into your body can help you to get more present and put some of those worries and all that crap that's in your way out of your head for a little bit. Right. Well, Austin, man, number one, I just want to acknowledge you. I love what you're doing. I love the fact that you're bringing light onto military life and educating so many people about what life is like for you and what you do. And you know, I also want to acknowledge you for taking a chance and going out there and making the decision to chronicle this stuff. Because, like I said, there's a lot of people who think about doing it. There's a lot of people who'd like to do it. There's very few people who actually do it. And very few people who actually stay with it, you know, even through that initial phase of where, you know, I don't know if I'm going to get the views. I don't know if I'm going to do this. So great job, man.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on today too.
Absolutely, brother. And to everybody out there, where can people find you online? Your YouTube channel, your Instagram, is there any other social media accounts out there?
Not really. I have a LinkedIn, but I don't really use it a whole lot. YouTube is just Austin Alexander, AUSTEN Alexander. And Instagram is at AUSTEN_Alex. Those are pretty much the two platforms that I use actively.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Well, thank you again, brother. And to everybody out there, thank you for listening. We'll be back at you next week with some more awesome content. Sure. Get out there and live your best lives while you can. This is Chris and Austin, and we are out.
See ya.